25 days until I say Election Day. For me, it is. I've always voted on Election Day. I don't think I've ever voted early. I've never needed to vote absentee or anything like that. I've never been out of the country and had to do a mail-in ballot. I am an old guy. I like going to the polls on Election Day. I know that Charlie Kirk would say, Steve, you should go early, make sure your vote gets in, make sure there can be no shenanigans. But I live in Fargo, and other than the shenanigans of, I don't know, a lot of people turning out to vote at the same time, I've never really felt like I'm in danger of having my vote not count. And when it comes to the most important races, the races for president and governor and House and Senate and so forth, I guess I've never felt like, well, if my vote doesn't get counted, it's going to really impact the elections one way or the other. I guess with some city commission school board races, I probably feel more strongly, honestly, about making sure my vote gets counted for those than anything else. But whatever your approach is, whatever your MO is, please do get out and vote. Early voting going on now in a lot of different places. Me, I'm going to be in line on November 5th, but that's 25 days from today. Can you believe that it's getting that close? In some ways, I'm really excited. In other ways, I feel like, oh, man, at least today and for the next 24 days, I can have this hope that Donald Trump might be president again. It's one of those things like, do I really want to know what's going to happen? My next commentary, by the way, or my next editorial for Flag Plus, one of the two, is going to be on There Is Always Hope. There is always hope. No matter how bad it seems, no matter how dire it feels, no matter how bleak it looks, there is always hope. I mean, think about it. Supreme Court overturning Roe versus Wade, sending that back to the states. Who'd ever thought? Elon Musk turning into a Donald Trump fan and maybe even a conservative in a lot of ways. Who'd ever thought? So there's always hope. But I hope we don't have to keep hanging on to hope. I hope we can cling to results 25 days from now. Good afternoon, my friend. Steve Hallstrom here with you for the Steve Hallstrom Show. Friday, October 11th, 2024. And man, our weather guys have served up a beautiful one today. It is so nice. It was a little cool and breezy earlier today, and it's still a little breezy. But man, it feels great. Just went for a little walk before the show. I love getting outside this time of year. Feels like we're stealing a little bit or we're living on borrowed time. I will take all of it. Going to take in a little high school football tonight. We have friends of our family. Their son is a junior at Moorhead High playing on the Spuds team. Spuds are down at Alexandria tonight, and we've been talking about getting over to a game. And when we heard this weekend was 1-2 in the state, we said that might be the one to go to. So we're going to have to hightail it out of here at 6 o'clock and get down there for the game. But Spuds and Alexandria, there are some polls out there that rank all of the teams in Minnesota, regardless of division or level. And one of those polls I saw has Moorhead and Alex 6 and 5, respectively, in the ranking. So these are two of the best 10 teams in the state. I think everybody agrees with that. And this is going to be a phenomenal game. Unfortunately, they're in the same section. So only one of them is going to end up going to state. Isn't that crazy? So we're going to go down and cheer on the Spuds tonight against Alexandria. Should be a gorgeous night for that. Cannot wait. Football on a Friday night this time of year, and the weather's going to be perfect. Yes, please. All right, we got a lot to do here on the show today. You might think that it's a Friday afternoon where things have been kind of sleeping. Au contraire, mon frère. Is that how the French speakers say this? Addison Loger, you're the Frenchman. Am I saying that correctly? Au contraire, mon frère.
Oh, you're putting so much pressure on me now. It's been a while. I know the saying you're trying to do.
I don't know it. My wife speaks fluent French, which gets kind of fun sometimes, but I'll leave that for another time. But she would be able to interpret all this for us. I think that's right. But anyway, you might think that there hasn't been much going on since it's a Friday. And it still kind of feels like a summer Friday. It's a fall Friday. It feels like a summer Friday. So, like, things just kind of feel a little sleepy waiting for the weekend. Such is not the case. A couple of very, very important news stories to tell you about today. And then one that maybe is only important to me because I love Krispy Kreme donuts. Yes, friends, Krispy Kreme donuts is coming back. Not to Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo, but within a reasonable driving distance. So I'll tell you that. Coming, I got a smile on my face. today. Okay, let's do it here. 701-271-1100 is the phone number. That's the studio line, and we hope that you will give us a call here at 701-271-1100. Hope that you will also chime in by email today, studio@flagfamily.com. You can also text us at 701-237-1590. That's 701-237-1590. We've already got a text in today. We're rocking and rolling here, Addison. Texter says, I voted early because Charlie Kirk told me to. Well, good for you. If you live in Minnesota, I'm especially thankful that you did this. In North Dakota, I'm like, okay, good for you. Whatever. Just make sure you get out and vote, because as I saw on the warm-up t-shirts of the WNBA players last night, they've all got shirts on saying vote. And they don't want you to vote for Donald Trump, so we better make sure that our votes get heard as well. 4 o'clock storylines here, coming up here in just a moment. First, I want to tell you that the Steve Hallstrom Studio is built on a solid foundation thanks to our sponsor, Precision Concrete Cutters and Ramjack North. Your home is your greatest asset. Protect it. Go to pccnd.com to learn more. On the show today, Kurt Chafee, who is the lead pastor of New Song Church in Bismarck. I'm really excited for this visit. Now, some churches, as you know, stay out of politics altogether, but Pastor Chafee's church has been more active from the pulpit, and they've taken some arrows in the back for this too, from some quote-unquote journalists across the state. So we'll talk to Pastor Chafee about that. How do you walk that line between faith and politics? So we'll talk to him about that. Then our friend Liz Collins is going to be with us at 5:35. Liz has a new documentary coming out, talking about how many first responders have been murdered in the line of duty. She did the fall of Minneapolis, which absolutely made us all go, what? And so she's working on a new one, and I can't wait to hear about it. Liz, by the way, is going to be in town with Michelle Tafoya next Thursday night, October 17th at the Avalon. Tickets still on sale at am1100theflag.com. You can get them at the door, too, but probably best, because the seats are starting to pick up as far as ticket sales. So get your tickets bought now. So those two guests coming up on the show today. All right, let's do it. Here we go with the 4 o'clock wrap, semi-automatic storylines, going rapid fire, catching you up on a busy day. It is Friday, October 11th, 2024. Average high for this day, down a degree to 59. Average low, 37. Record high, 97 on this day in 2015. Record low was just 6 years earlier than that, at 20 degrees. Sunrise this morning at 7:40, sunset at 6:46. In the markets today, a big day on Wall Street. The Dow jumped 400 points to a record today. I can't really find a lot of stories that have a smoking gun about why the markets were up as big as they were today, but it seems like people just feel like the Federal Reserve is getting closer to its inflation target. That means rates are going to be coming down, but I don't see anything really to point to here. Maybe people are just in a good mood on Friday, feel like buying stuff. I don't know. But the Dow was up 409, S&P 500 up 34, NASDAQ up 60. WTI crude oil today unchanged at $75.40. Gold up $34, silver up 49 cents, and Bitcoin up almost 6% today at $3,458. Wow. AAA says the average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas nationwide is $3.20. Minnesota is at $3.14, North Dakota $3.11, and South Dakota at $3.09. In the news today, a big story coming out of West Fargo today. Prosecutors say a West Fargo man will not face charges after fatally shooting a man in self-defense. The decision to not charge Donald Barron in the shooting was made public in a memorandum released to WDAY Radio. The August 17th shooting was detailed in the document, which describes 25-year-old Austin Strom attempting to gain access to Prairie Heights Church. Strom was confronted by 66-year-old Ken Hodges, who recorded the incident. Barron was in a nearby parking lot when the attack began. Barron drove to the fight, exited the vehicle, and felt like he needed to take action. Eventually, a shot was fired. Strom died, and prosecutors say that he will not be charged with anything at all on that. We'll get into that because the story has a lot of details there, but the West Fargo teacher will not face charges. I want to say that maybe I misspoke there, me and Tim Walls. I think he might have been a Moorhead man, but he is a West Fargo teacher. Anyway, a local man there. There were three people involved there. The man that pulled the trigger will not face charges. All right, story number two. This is an odd story here. A Moorhead man is in hospital care after being rescued from the top of a 250-foot-tall radio tower yesterday. None of ours, thank goodness. First responders were called to the tower in Eagan, Minnesota, the Twin Cities suburb, when the man was spotted far above the ground. A member of the Dakota County Special Ops Team climbed the tower, grabbed the unidentified man, allowing them both to be lowered to the ground on ropes. Investigators say the 51-year-old Moorhead man had to be treated for exposure to the cold after he was rescued. Cass County Board of Commissioners has declared a fire emergency and enacted Cass County burn restrictions through October 17th due to the significant, they call them vegetative fuels. Basically, you've got, you know, dry grass and timber, right? And the ongoing dry weather conditions. Now, if I have to tell you that there are burn restrictions out and you probably shouldn't start setting fires outside, we may have bigger issues to talk about. But now it's official from the Cass County Commissioners. Speaking of the fires going on up there, North Dakota's top oil regulator says North Dakota oil producers voluntarily agreed to pump less oil to limit fire risk, with more production cuts possible if wildfire conditions worsen. As you know, more than 110,000 acres have been burned. Causes of the fires are under investigation. Oil activity has not been linked to the fires, but state regulators asked oil operators last Saturday to voluntarily shut down some of their wells in areas with high fire danger. They quickly complied. An estimated 300 to 400 wells were shut temporarily. And they may open them up here at some point, but right now they're not. So the next time someone says that all those oil companies, all they want to do is just rape and pillage the land, you can say, well, they voluntarily decided to close operations for a while when there was a wildfire issue. Does that matter for anything? Also in the news today, I got a laugh out of this story, and it's not a laughing matter story, but I have to admit to you I laughed about this story because I got ripped by my friends Jay Thomas and Scott Hennen for suggesting that former President Trump should not play golf until after the election because how are you going to secure an entire golf course? They made fun of me, made me feel like a little kid, but I'm getting my revenge today because NBC Radio reports the former President Trump will not play golf until after the election. A source close to the campaign has said this. Trump has not golfed since that assassination attempt in September that occurred outside a Florida country club owned by Trump. Federal agents have told Trump they cannot ensure his safety to a point that they were comfortable with him playing. He has 18 golf properties around the world. Maybe he can fly overseas and play, but he's not going to play golf again until after the election. I'm just telling you, it shouldn't be this way. It's sad that it's this way, but you know what? You play the hand you're dealt. And if you're Donald Trump, you maybe wait until the election. And so I have a little bit of vindication here today on this story. North Dakota's pheasant hunting season opens tomorrow, goes through January 5th, and it might be a little tough to find birds in some areas affected by the wildfires there. The pheasants that would have been in some of those fire-affected areas obviously have moved to other areas. However, the pheasant population in northwest North Dakota appears to be in pretty good shape. Game and Fish Department's annual upland game survey conducted in July and August counted about 164 pheasants per 100 miles, and that's up from 159 pheasants in 2023. So not a big jump, but 159 to 164. And pheasants are generally pretty good at getting out of wildfire areas quickly, as are other wildlife such as deer. Cattle, on the other hand, a very different thing. So thought I would mention that. And the story that I've been waiting all day. Literally, I wanted to start the show today at about noon because the following story comes across my wires today, and I say, yes. The Minneapolis-St. Paul Business Journal reports that Krispy Kreme is plotting a Minnesota comeback. Yes, friends, Krispy Kreme left Minnesota and North Dakota about 15 years ago, but it is now eyeing a shuttered CVS pharmacy store in Fridley for its return. How about that? If you know, you know. Krispy Kreme, that is a reasonable drive. I've got my kids. One of my kids is down there. I can easily make excuses to go down and get some Krispy Kreme donuts. And those, friends, are some of the stories making headlines across this great region here today on this Friday afternoon. It is 4:22 here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. When the Steve Hallstrom Show continues, is Donald Trump really walking out on the bill when he does rallies in cities across the country? Depends on who you ask. We're going to talk about that coming up next. Hey, come party with us tomorrow over at Fargo Billiards. It's the Flag Family Beer Fest. First ever time we've done this. We will all enjoy responsibly, as you will as well, and we'll have a good time there. Sponsored by Shiner, Leinenkugel, Castle Danger, and Voodoo Ranger. You had me at Shiner, but you really sealed the deal with me at Voodoo Ranger. More than a dozen beers to sample. There will be a stein hoisting contest. Get your shoulder muscles ready. Dart tournament, cornhole tournament. We'll watch the Bison Road game at Southern Illinois tomorrow and enjoy a buffet of foods paired to go with the featured beers. Saturday, October 12th, that's tomorrow at Fargo Billiards. Should be a good time. There is a charge to get in and be part of the deal because you're getting the free beer samples and then the food that goes along with it. But I don't know what it is, but I understand it's reasonable, and I think it's going to be a ton of fun. Cornhole tournament and darts and just a good time hanging out there as well. Come hang out with a number of your favorite Flag family and WDAY personalities there tomorrow. Okay, so this story's back in the news. The Donald J. Trump presidential campaign has, according to St. Cloud Live, has missed a due date to reimburse the city of St. Cloud $209,000 for costs related to their July rally they had at St. Cloud State University. The story goes on to say that City Administrator Matt Stalling confirmed that the Trump campaign failed to meet the due date for payment, and the city is going to have to send a second notice. The rally's costs include police and fire, public services, blah, blah, blah. The campaign did pay St. Cloud State University, where the rally was held, $35,000 on August 1st, so basically the week of the rally. So here's my question on this, and I can't tell from the reporting here on this story, but I've been sent invoices for things that I didn't agree to. And I wonder if this is one of them. My million-dollar question is this. Did the Trump campaign enter into an agreement to pay whatever costs were there to the city? Or do they say, we're coming, we're going to get the venue. Hey, law enforcement, we need your help, but we're not paying for it. Now, you can argue, should they pay for it? I would say they probably should. If there's a lot of, you know, extra police and overtime or whatever, I think that is... That's fair, but I can't say it's bad for St. Cloud. They had all those people coming to town. They're eating, sleeping over, buying stuff or whatever. So it's not like the city doesn't get anything out of it either. I don't trust the reporting on these things. And I do not mean to knock St. Cloud Live. That's a division of the Forum, and they do generally a good job on this. But I would love to see in this story something about City Administrator Matt Stalling has sent St. Cloud Live a copy of the agreement that was forged between Donald Trump and the city, saying that they will pay up to whatever. Because if I'm the Trump campaign, I'm saying, okay, we'll reimburse you, but like, don't send us a bill for $1.3 million, right? I mean, don't invoice us for IT access charges of $500,000 or whatever, right? So that's what I would like to see. So until I see that, until I know that, I just am trying to think critically on this story, because so many times you hear these stories and he's not reimbursed, and then later on you find out, well, they never really said that they would. Well, then it's on St. Cloud, and they should then go to St. Cloud State University and say, no, don't have this rally here because we don't want it here. It's going to cost too much or whatever. Make them go somewhere else. And I'm sure Morris, Minnesota, or Mankato, or Duluth, or wherever would love to have this rally. So I just want to know more before I'm willing to do what everybody out there is doing, and that is, oh, that Trump, he didn't pay his bills, and he just thinks he... I mean, you know how this all goes. So I just need to see better reporting on this before I know exactly what is happening here. 4:30, Steve Hallstrom Show. It is now time to check in with our good friend, Ty Schoenert from the Flag Family Newsroom. He's been hard at work today. What's going on, my man?
Hello and good afternoon. A West Fargo teacher will not be charged for shooting and killing a man back in August. Don Barron of Moorhead shot and killed Austin Strom. After Strom, a member of the church where the shooting took place, attacked another church member, Kent Hodges. Barron tried to help the fellow church member when Strom attacked him, resulting in that self-defense shooting. Police say say Strom was having a mental health or having mental health issues. And if you want to see the full breakdown of this, AM1100theflag.com. Yeah. I got that memorandum on that website. Most of it, a lot of the important bits up there and the context of when that exact shooting took place, the moment of it, it's important. I think it's worth reading here as well.
Big, big story. And good job on you guys and you for staying on top of this one. And you've got, you know, some of the disclosures from the charging documents and all that. So basically what we need to know is the third man in is not going to face charges, even though he was the one that shot one of the two people that was fighting originally, the guy who has mental health issues and apparently had some substances in his system at the time. He will not face charges.
Correct.
Okay.
And that's the big deal when it comes to this. Again, all the details, am1100theflag.com.
Check it out.
Farmers and ranchers in western North Dakota seeing heavy losses as wildfires continue to burn.
Not only do we have livestock losses, but we have burned fences, farmsteads, homes, even the loss of human life. And so incredibly devastating.
ND Stockman Association Executive Vice President Julie Ellingson making the comments on the Steve Hallstrom Show. The wildfires had the potential to re-flare as firefighters battled the blazes. An official headcount on cattle losses unknown at this time. It's really difficult to calculate those things during active blazes, but more details are become available as those crews battle those fires.
A lot of people don't know when there's disaster like this that happens, a lot of guys are just going to cut their fences and let their cattle go so they're not trapped in. So they're still looking for some cattle out there.
Yes, and that's a really important fact of it too. A group opposing Measure 5 on next month's ballot has kicked off their efforts to defeat the proposition. Measure 5 would legalize recreational marijuana in the state, and the American Experiment North Dakota says recreational pot would harm kids. Another claim they have is it would increase the demand on the black market. They also say it would fail to return revenue to the state. Similar measures were defeated in 2020 and again in 2022, so we'll see if voters come around on the idea of recreational marijuana.
Yeah, I could go for a half hour on this. I won't, because I've done it before, but this will harm North Dakotans, and I hope it doesn't pass.
Burning off limits in Cass County due to the dry conditions, the county board declaring a fire emergency, enacting the burn restrictions through next Thursday. NDSU researchers included among the top 2% of scientists and researchers in the world, and they are placing the credit where they say it's due.
The credit really has to go to the students who participate in the research program. I think it's not an individual recognition. Nobody's in science. You don't do things individually.
That's NDSU Professor of Chemistry and Biology, Dr. Mukund Sibi. The list recognizes the most influential researchers across the globe in a broad range of scientific fields.
So this is all of the staff and faculty at NDSU who have been part of this award, or is this certain ones?
There's 25 recognized as this year's contributions and 25 career contributions. And Dr. Mukund Sibi is actually as the 25 top of the university as career contributions to the fields that he's in. So this is really interesting. We have a really prominent research development agency here in North Dakota, NDSU.
Very cool.
They have a rated 1A, all that stuff. So it's really just to kind of listen to all that stuff too.
Very good. They're all pros.
Yes.
That's what they do.
A Queens funeral home being sued for shipping a body to the wrong country.
Mm.
The lawsuit filed in New York State Supreme Court says R.G. Ortiz Funeral Home was supposed to get 96-year-old Carmen Maldonado's remains to her native Ecuador home in May. They were sent to Guatemala, 1,400 miles away instead. The funeral home did not come clean for 2 weeks, according to authorities. Maldonado's family saw a TikTok video posted by a reporter based off of this. The lawsuit alleges the body is too badly decomposed for an open casket funeral.
Goodness.
Now, the loved ones of the family are seeking unspecified damages. The funeral home already faces legal action in the past for losing bodies and exploiting customers, according to authorities.
All right. Sounds like RJ Ortiz may need to find a new line of work.
That might be what's happening.
Very good, Ty. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The one and only Ty Schoenert checking in from the newsroom. Now let's kick it over to the Skywatch Weather Center. Meteorologist Justin Storm is on the job today. Hey, Justin, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I've heard you've been a little under the weather, so I hope you're feeling better. And if you can get out and take a walk outside a little bit today on a day like this, it might help your spirits because, man, is it beautiful out there today.
Oh, it is a nice day, and, yeah, just shaking off a head cold. So hopefully this will be gone over the weekend. But up until then, we're looking at nice weather out there today. Temperatures sitting at 64 degrees, a nice afternoon with a north wind at 12 miles per hour. Lots of sunshine, and we'll see the wind sticking around at this time about 10 to 20 miles per hour for the rest of the time while the sun is up, and then that Wind will go light and calm at times throughout tonight. Clouds will be increasing. There will be a few sprinkles that roll across the valley tonight. We'll drop down to the mid and upper 40s with east-northeast winds again. Calm at times, but generally around 5 miles per hour. Now for Saturday, wind remains light. It is going to be a mostly cloudy day. A little sun from time to time across the area, but some spots may not see any sun at all. And that will keep temperatures in the 50s throughout most of the day. We'll top out in the low 60s here in Fargo with a few spotty showers around the area, but half of those unlikely to reach the ground. So if you are able to get a few raindrops, consider yourself lucky as for how dry it has been. Now, for Saturday night, we continue to see a couple spotty showers down in the low 40s for lows. Wind will start to pick up Saturday night around 10 to 20 and gust upwards of 30 to 35 miles per hour at times throughout Sunday afternoon, with partly cloudy skies and temperatures only reaching into the mid-50s. So kind of a cool, raw day for Sunday. Not quite used to that yet, but we will be by the beginning of next week as temperatures kind of stay in the mid-50s for Monday and Tuesday before we see a slight warming trend in the extended forecast towards the end of next week, back in the mid to upper 60s, with our next chance for a few spotty showers coming next Friday, Steve. And this weather today is brought to you by Schmidt's Gem and Fine Jewelry.
Very good. Thank you, Justin. We appreciate the work as always. Have a great rest of the day. After this, some churches will absolutely not take political positions, but some, like New Song Church in Bismarck, are willing to step into politics. From the pulpit, we're going to visit with lead pastor Kurt Chafee of New Song Church in Bismarck when we come back. Well, on the Steve Halsham Show, we celebrate people who are willing to step out from their comfort zones and say what they believe, especially when these things stand up for the conservative playbook and the good book, the scriptures as we know them to be. And we are pleased to have on the program this afternoon one gentleman who has taken some arrows for doing just that. His name is Pastor Kurt Chafee. He's the lead pastor at New Song Church in Bismarck, and he joins us here on the Steve Halsham Show. Pastor Chafee, thank you very much for taking time here on this Friday. I know that for those of you who are planning on opening up the Word on Sunday, having extra things on your schedule on a Friday is not always ideal, but we appreciate so much you taking a few minutes to visit with us today.
Well, it's my pleasure, and thanks for having me on.
You got it. So Pastor Chafee's church, friends, has been targeted by some reporting across the state of North Dakota, and we'll kind of leave out the perpetrators of that for the time being here. But if you want to find it, you certainly can. And Pastor Chafee, I want you to tell us, to speak from the heart, what your church believes about faith and politics, because you've been described a lot of different ways by people that maybe don't necessarily look at it the way you and I might. So I'll let you tell us, what is your church, New Song Church, all about when it comes to faith and politics?
Yeah, sure. You know, it's an interesting topic nowadays. You know, I've been in ministry for 30 years, and it has really gotten polarized, and I'm accused of being political, but yet, you know, I think I'm in good company. Jesus himself and the disciples and John the Beloved, he was exiled to the island of Patmos, which is an island for political prisoners. None of those guys were running for political office, nor am I. But yet I'm accused of being political. And at the end of the day, the Bible covers a lot of territory. And one of them being the affairs of the city, which is basically what politics is, the affairs of our city. And if we really care about the affairs of our city, then we'll care about all of the affairs of our cities, especially those who are governing. And so we just stand for truth. We want the Bible and the truth to be known. We want what the Bible calls evil to be exposed, because there's a lot of confusion today about what is good and what is evil, and I guess that's nothing new. And the same thing with truth. There's a lot of confusion about simple things that people struggle to know what truth is. And so if the church isn't the herald of truth and justice and helping people understand the difference, then I don't know where else you can go on the planet to be able to get that information. And of course, I recommend everybody read their Bible, but find a good Bible-based church and not be afraid to tell the truth, and because that's true love. You can't have truth. I mean, you can't have love without truth. Truth is what sets us free, not love. Love is a byproduct of truth. So that's kind of my two cents. And, you know, we're a Bible-believing church. We believe that God is still alive and well. The Spirit's at work in people, and prayer is vitally important. Community is important. And so I could ramble on and on, but that's kind of in a nutshell.
So you have done a number of things outside of Sunday morning services. You've had events there where they've had a political tone to them. Turning Point USA has got a division that basically interacts with churches and the faith community. You've got a low-power radio station that you program as well. So I know you've got some things kind of on the periphery that you do, but what kind of things do you teach from the pulpit, and how do you address that in your Sunday morning services when you've got the congregation together?
Yeah, we definitely, I'm friends with Charlie Kirk and Eric Metaxas, James Lindsay, Riley Gaines, all of those guys and others, Siaka Masakoi. These guys have all been to the church and sharing their stories. Another guy we just had a couple of weeks ago is named Adam Vina. The state of California took his child away from him, and he's at the age of 3, and he's now 6 and transitioning without his approval. And so we bring in these guys to really share their stories, all these people to share their stories about how they handle what God has called them to do in the earth and how faith matters to them, how they couldn't do it without their relationship with God and without their his guiding hand in their life. So we, on a Sunday morning, we cover all of the topics that we believe are near to the heart of God, good or bad, that God weeps over or is angry about, or that he is joyful about. So we try to cover every topic. And coming up here this Sunday, we have a Faith in Blue Sunday. So I'm a chaplain out at the jail with the law enforcement and first responders. So we're going to have some first responders in, and they're going to share their stories. And then we're going to have Q&A, and we're going to pray for them. And then in 2 weeks, we're going to have Bible in the ballot, what the Bible says about voting, why to vote, how to vote biblically. And so we cover every topic you can practically imagine that is at the heart of humanity. And whether it's things like gossip or lying or stealing or cheating or adultery or sexual immorality or all of these topics that are the world really, really struggles with and is desperate needing the answer. So we cover all of those topics, and that includes tyranny. When a government is tyrannical, what does the Bible say we are to do? And so several weeks ago, we did 1 Kings chapter 18 and how Elijah dealt with it, with King Ahab, who was a wicked king and a wicked ruler, and how he dealt with it and how we should deal with it. And so, you know, there's people in our day and age that are very passive, and they just really believe that Jesus is very passive. And I just don't agree with that. I think Jesus is a warrior. He's the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He is asking us to step up and do our part. And so we pray like crazy about once a month or once every 6 weeks. We do just a prayer and worship service where we have a song of worship, and then we have people in the congregation. I just walk around and pick people, and we just pray for various topics, which is what we did last week. So some of our Sunday mornings are just basically a prayer service of praying for the hurricanes and for Israel. We're a big supporters of Israel. We really believe that God is keeping his promise to Israel from Abraham, and that's in Romans 9, 10, and 11. So anyway, I'm kind of rambling, but I could go on and on. But yeah, we want to be Bible in one hand, the topics of this earth the other hand, and we want to watch it unfold. God's story is unfolding in the earth.
Absolutely it is. So what's it been like, Pastor Chafee, seeing your church profiled the way you have been, kind of vilified for taking the stances that you have? You know, the way I see it, you know, it's you're opening your services, you're opening your doors to people that want to come and worship with you, that are comfortable having the things taught from the pulpit that are. And if you don't like it, you don't have to come. But it seems like you're being targeted here and profiled as some extreme people that are, I don't know, taking non-believers out back and shooting them and wanting to hang transgender people and all of these different things here. What's it been like seeing your church profiled the way you have been?
Yeah, that's been, you know, it's been good in some ways. It's been challenging in other ways. I don't think it's been bad. I think whenever you stand for truth and righteousness, it's good. I think there's things you got to navigate that comes up in that process. I think evil is always going to hate good. So we have to just come to grips with, you know, there's several verses I could launch into a sermon right now, but that Jesus told us, you know, we were going to be hated for his name's sake, you know, for him and his ways, we're going to be hated just like he and all of those before us have, and that's okay. And then in Matthew chapter 5, it says, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and rejoice and worship your Father in heaven. And so, you know, when we think, well, when we must be doing something wrong if somebody doesn't like us or hates us. And so then we kind of push back against that. And that's the wrong posture. The right posture is to understand that that's normal. People are going to push back. Just like if you're sleeping in the middle of the night and somebody comes in and flips the light on, your first response is to put your hand up over the light and say, ah, turn the light off. That's what happens when the light hits people. Everybody and anybody's welcome to come to our church services. It's open to the public. You know, we've had hecklers. We have protesters, and that's fine. They're all welcome to come in and hear the truth. If they don't want it, that's okay. That's okay. If they're not ready for it, but those seeds are going to be spread and planted. And so when people come in, we want everybody to hear the truth. And what we're finding, even though we've been, you know, defamed or whatever, I don't like to get into any of that. I love everybody, even those that have written negatively about me. My concern really isn't me. It's more my family and my friends, family at the body of believers. You know, that's unfortunate, but I also have to tell them this is what happens when we stand for truth. Jesus told us. And so if we just keep doing good, at some point people are going to say, wait a minute, they're doing good.
Yeah.
What's my problem? And then they're going to call it out. They're going to say, yep, you're right. You're good. And then I'm going to worship your God. And that's all the way throughout Scripture.
Yeah, what a great approach. Has your church grown through all of this? Have you lost members? What's been the turnout like at your church through all of this over the last couple of years?
You know, been an ebb and flow. COVID, of course, socked everybody. We didn't shut for very long after COVID. So I had people leave because we were going to be a super spreader and, you know, kill grandma and kill babies. And so they would say, we're going to go to another church because you're meeting, which, of course, to me was very hypocritical. And like, how can you say you're going to go to another church that's not meeting and then not come to a church that's meeting? It was just very, you know, and I would just ask them that, and they had nothing to say, of course. But so we lost some people through that. And of course, I think there was just a lot of fear that was around that. But we've slowly been coming back and replacing some of those. And here's one of the most exciting things for me is the people that we are rallying are very deep, solid, not flaky people. And nothing again. I mean, I want everybody to come. I don't care if they've never heard the gospel before in their life, don't know anything about the Bible, and they would be considered themselves very unknowing or shallow in their faith. We want them to come and hear and get depth in their life. But we've been gaining people that are really fed up with the passivity and the fear tactics and being intimidated, that we don't want to be intimidated anymore. And we shouldn't. But North Dakota, and I don't know, on your side of the state, you know, it can be pretty passive. It can be very passive, like we just don't want to stir up any trouble or, you know, like that's some type of righteous thing. And so but what I am seeing is courage begets courage. And that's the exciting part. So we've definitely been growing, and we bought 23 acres of land. We really believe that God is going to be doing some exciting things in the future. But God is faithful.
Yes. Amen. Pastor Chafee, I could visit with you all day. Thanks so much for taking the time. It's been great to meet you. Thanks for sharing the story with us, and thanks for all you do for the kingdom. We appreciate you taking the lead and being a good voice of God out there in the community there in Bismarck. So keep up the great work, and hopefully we'll visit with you again sometime.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it, and I just want to say you keep up the great work, too, and for all the listeners out there, God bless you. Keep seeking God. He is not done yet.
Yeah, amen. Amen. 4:52. Thank you, Pastor Chafee. You take care. All right, when we come back here on the Steve Alsham Show, the interesting change in politics on the Iron Range in Minnesota. My, how things have changed out there. We'll do that after this. Just saw a note from the Business Wires. Boeing is going to lay off 10% of its workforce. 17,000 jobs. I don't know. You can tell me all you want that the economy is doing well, but how many stories have we had like this where it's 5,000, 10,000, 15,000, 17,000 jobs? You can't have that many people losing their jobs and think that somehow that's not going to affect the spending power of Americans. So I don't know. Maybe it's just going to take some time. Maybe we were so deprived of employees, or there were so many openings out there that it's just taken a while to fill them all. But at some point, you've got to think that the job opening numbers are going to come way down. And certainly they have. We've seen that. So sooner or later, this will matter. Absolutely. All right. Henry's been waiting for a little while here to visit with us. Henry, thanks for your patience today. What's on your mind, my friend?
Senate Bill 201C in South Dakota. I don't think it should pass. I think it's trampling all over property rights, and I just don't think it's right to put air in the ground.
Okay, so Senate Bill 20, this sounds like it has something to do with the carbon pipelines, correct? Or carbon dioxide pipelines. Okay. And give
air
us
is in the air.
Okay, and give us the give us what's the bill about? The bill would force or allow what to happen?
It would force the farmers to have to get a pipeline through their land using eminent domain.
Okay, so this is, if you don't want to sell to the pipeline, you would be forced to by this bill that's going through the South Dakota legislature.
Yes.
Okay, very good. Thank you for letting us know, Henry. I appreciate your calling on that. I'm with you on this. I think the people should have the right. If here's where it gets tricky, is if this is something that we need to make the world go around, then I can understand there's a conversation to be had here. But to me, that has to be reserved for very, very a few things that, I don't know, some that would provide a security of some kind that we wouldn't have, or allow something to continue that wouldn't otherwise continue, that's absolutely vital. That has to be a very, very limited thing, very small in its scope. So I'm not saying no, not never. I don't know that I look at a pipeline and say, okay, there's an existential threat if we don't do this. It's a tricky one, though. I will say that. Now, Henry is weighing in on his opinion on that, and I'm glad that he did. Thank you, Henry, for giving us a call. Okay, I've only got about 30 seconds here, so I'm going to take this story that I have for you about the Iron Range, Minnesota. I'm going to move it into the top 5 at 5 today so I don't run out of time. I want to give it a little bit of time, and I think it's good enough to put it into the top 5 at 5 today, too. We'll do that when we come back here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Still to come on the program today, Liz Collin will be here from Alpha News. She's going to be in town next Thursday. Big event there, and we're going to talk to Liz about a whole bunch of things, including a new documentary she's got coming out. Of that and more coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. All right, here we go. Hour number 2, the Steve Hallstrom Show. And great to have you with us here on the program on this Friday afternoon, October 11th, 2024, and going to be a beautiful night for whatever you got planned outside. I'm going to go catch a little football tonight down in Alexandria. Moorhead and Alex, it's going to be, I think, 1 versus 2 in the state. Some in the class, some people have this as a top, like 5 and 6 in the state, regardless of class. Moorhead and Alexandria playing the second to the largest class of high school football. But these teams could, I think, give a game to just about anybody, so I cannot wait for this one. It's going to be a good one, and I hope you're having a great weekend too. No Vikings football this weekend. We will talk about the Bison, though, before we finish up. The Steve Hallstrom Studios, built on a solid foundation thanks to our sponsor, Precision Concrete Cutters and Ramjack North. Your home is your greatest asset. Protect it and go to pccnd.com to learn more. All right, let's do the top 5 at 5 here, giving you what I believe to be the 5 most consequential stories in the news cycle today. Crystal, I know you're on the line, and let's get Crystal in here before we get to that. Otherwise, it'll get a little deep into the hour. Crystal, what's going on with you today?
Well, I was very intrigued today when I heard directly about the UN peacekeepers being injured. I didn't even know there were them, and I looked it up, and there's 100,000 peacekeepers from Italy and France and Spain and all these other places, and I'm wondering how does that happen if they're there and then all this stuff is going, you know, weapon-wise out of Lebanon since October 7th? I mean, what is their mission? Why are they there? And it doesn't seem like they're keeping peace because Lebanon, is attacking Israel, and Israel now is getting after Lebanon, finally. and they're having a little bit of a problem, but they're getting rid of the Hezbollah guys. And the reason I bring that up is I compare it to our own National Guard. We are blessed to have the National Guard throughout our nation, but just imagine if they were the bad guys. We would be pretty much held hostage. And that's what's happening in Lebanon with the people and Gaza. The bad guys are in charge of the military, and they're the ones that are hiding among the civilians and hostages
yep.
being held, that kind of stuff.
Yep, yeah.
But
yeah.
I didn't know there were peacekeepers over there.
Yeah, there's UN peacekeepers that are over in those parts of the world, and all those countries, they've got people that are doing a lot of different things too. So, yeah, interesting conversation, Crystal. Thanks for getting us thinking about it today. All right, 5:10, it's time for the Top 5 at 5, brought to you by Nancy Kelly Realty. Go to nancykellyrealty.com and find out more about Colfax Meadows, where small town living is still a thing. Here are what I believe to be the five most consequential stories in the news cycle today. We've been talking about it quite a bit today. A West Fargo teacher will not be charged for shooting and killing a man back in August. Don Barron of Moorhead shot and killed Austin Strom after Strom, who is a member at Prairie Heights Church where the shooting took place, attacked another church member, Kent Hodges. It was after hours in the evening hours. Barron tried to help his fellow church member when Strom attacked him, resulting in the self-defense shooting. Police say Strom was having mental health issues and had THC, which is the active drug in marijuana, in his system as well. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this because this story is something else. But anyway, that leads the news today. There will be no charges filed in this. Strom died at the scene, but both of the other men involved, while there were injuries and some trauma, there was no loss of life with those two. Story number two, North Dakota's top oil regulator says oil drillers in North Dakota voluntarily agreed to pump less oil to limit fire risk during the wildfires that began last Saturday in North Dakota. As you know, more than 110,000 acres have been burned. There's been loss of life. Two people are dead. And many animals, cattle as well. Causes of the fires are under investigation. Oil activity has not been linked to the fire here, but state regulators asked operators last Saturday to voluntarily shut down oil and gas wells in areas with high fire danger. Operators quickly complied, with an estimated 300 to 400 wells being shut. The reason I put this in is this. I think a lot of times business people of all kinds, certainly oil and gas companies, get labeled as people who are just trying to kill humanity with climate change and fossil fuels, and all they care about is money, and they will not listen to anybody who says anything to them. They're just going to keep pumping and killing people and trying to make money and make gluttonous amounts of profit. Well, this story appears to tell us a different story. So that's story number two. Story number three. Former President Trump will not play golf until after the election. This according to a source close to the campaign to NBC News. Trump has not golfed since the assassination attempt back in September that occurred outside his Florida country club. Federal agents told Trump they could not ensure his safety to a point that they were comfortable with him playing. Trump has 18 golf properties around the world. I think it's sad that he has to give up golfing for another month or so. But you know what? Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. And if the Secret Service is not able to protect you, and I get it, it's a different, difficult job, should not be as difficult as they have made it, but it's a difficult job. But they are just saying it's probably not the best idea. And for right now, he's saying, okay. Story number four, this is one that I wanted to sneak in here in the first hour, and we ran out of time, but it definitely fits the top five at five. The Star Tribune of Minnesota, now I have to remember to call it that, profiles the Iron Range town of Mountain Iron, a population about 3,000 people, and it is a microcosm of what's happening all across the Iron Range. We own three radio stations in Grand Rapids, Minnesota, and have for the last two, three years, and I can tell you we see this firsthand up there as well. Let me give you the numbers in the presidential elections. Back in 1996, in the presidential election, Mountain Iron specifically, went 76% for the Democrat, 21% for the Republican. Then in 2000, it was 61% for the Democrat to 29% Republican. 2004, 69 to 29. 2008, 65 to 30. 2012, 63 to 33. Then in 2016, things changed. Donald Trump got the attention of people on the range, 48 to 44. In 2020, it was 48 to 48, 48.9 to 48.6. That's right, basically a dead heat. It will be very interesting to see what happens there this November. My guess is that Donald Trump ends up winning this by a small margin in Mountain Iron, Minnesota. Very interesting there. Great story and a great read. You can find that one pretty easily in the Star Tribune. And finally, J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon, reports CNBC, sees risks climbing around the world amid widening conflicts in the Middle East and with Russia's invasion of Ukraine showing no signs of abating. You go down a little bit down this story, and you start to see something very interesting. So that first sentence, probably pretty harmless, right? We'll go down the line here a little bit. His quote directly, this is in paragraph 5. This isn't a paragraph 10 story, but it's at least a paragraph 5 story. Quote, it's ratcheting up, folks, and it takes really strong American leadership and Western world leaders to do something about that, Dimon said in a speech at Georgetown. That's my number one concern, and it dwarfs any that I've had since I've been working. Now, Dimon is a Democrat and has been for a long time, but over the last probably 2 years or so, he's come out more and more being critical of Joe Biden and now Kamala Harris and saying, you know, I don't like Trump a whole lot, but you got to look at the story and say facts are facts. Strong American leadership is needed. And now to see these comments again, Jamie Dimon is not one that you want to ignore. He speaks for a lot of people on Wall Street, and whether it's that they all of a sudden love Donald Trump or they just see that he might win and we want to work with him, I don't want the president to be on my bad side. Very interesting. He is one of many who is coming out more and more outspoken. And when you're saying it takes really strong American leadership to do something about these problems, I think you know all you need to know. Honorable mention for the top 5 at 5 today. Krispy Kreme Donuts is planning a return to Minnesota. It's eyeing a shuttered CVS pharmacy store in Fridley for its return. Krispy Kreme left Minnesota in 2008. I think that's about the time that the Fargo store closed, too. Me and mi familia are big Krispy Kreme donut fans. And I don't know that we'll make a special trip down there when the store opens, but I think we'll find an excuse to go down that way at some point. All right. And those, friends, are what I believe to be the top 5 of most consequential stories in the news cycle today. We call it the top 5 at 5. It's brought to you by Nancy Kelly Realty. All right, the story is as horrific as it is fascinating. It feels like something they're going to write a book about someday. It's the story of this shooting at Prairie Heights Church, and we're going to get into details on this when we come back. Flag Plus is a new subscription platform from the Flag and Flag Family Media. Subscribe at flagfamily.com/plus. We've launched Flag Plus with a brand new TV show, The Common Sense Club, with J. Thomas, Scott Hennen, and myself. You know what we do. We talk about issues that affect conservatives and break it all down. They might be local, regional, nationwide issues, but we talk it all out. Sometimes we slug it out. Sometimes we hug it out. We always have a good time doing that. It's a members-only weekly video podcast covering a variety of topics. We also give you exclusive interviews, entertainment, and more, an entire archive of every show, invitations to members-only and signature events, plus discounts on events and merchandise as well. It's just $10 a month. Go to flagfamily.com/plus. And if you subscribe for an entire year for $100, you'll save $20. flagfamily.com/plus. Or 523. Let me hit a couple of text messages that have come in. Steve, I voted MAGA today, straight down the line in Moorhead. Drug dealers knocked yesterday in Fargo. Amen, John. Okay, John, I'm not sure if that meant that drug dealers knocked on your door or exactly what happened, but glad you voted. And if you voted in Moorhead today, I guess I am glad that you went out and got your voting done. Get that vote in early. Steve, I don't think any minds will be changed at this point in the election season. It's a matter of who turns out the most voters. Everyone has already made their choice for president anyway. Now, down ballot voting, that's another story altogether. Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to that, although I still do believe that there are some people that just don't pay attention, they haven't really made up their mind. They probably have an idea what they're going to do, but something could still be changed in their mind if somebody gets the right information in front of them. I'm thankful for all those organizations like Charlie Kirk's organization that are still doing that, knocking on those doors, especially in the swing states. It means so much. I have no idea how this is going to go. I really don't. I honestly can't believe it's close, but it certainly seems to be. Maybe it's not as close as the pollsters would have us believe. Who knows? All right. Thank you for the text. You can send them in as well, 701-271-1100. That's our phone line. You can text us 701-237-1590 or email studio@flagfamily.com. Emailer Vince said, Steve, can any of the euthanized cattle that are being put down with a bullet, not drugs, be used for butchering to recoup any ranchers' losses? That's a good question, Vince. I would assume that if you could do it right away where the smoke inhalation wouldn't affect the meat, but I think you'd have to get on that really quick. Somebody in the ag community probably knows that answer. So if you have perspective on that, let me know. That would be great to hear. I kind of don't think so, but maybe I'm wrong about that. Okay, I want to get into this story about the West Fargo shooting. This story, you guys, is just like it's something out of a movie script, really. So I'll try to sort of paraphrase from a couple different stories I'm reading here about this story. So what happened in the very beginning, 25-year-old Austin Strom was a member of Prairie Heights Church, had ties to the church, was a frequent attender. He'd had some ups and downs, substance use, mental health issues. And on this particular night, this past summer, August 17th, he was at the church after hours, in the overnight hours. And another member of the church, who I guess just either happened to be passing by, lived nearby, maybe was at the church, it was a Saturday night in advance of Sunday morning services, maybe he was there doing something to get ready for the services that next morning. And he noticed Strom trying to break into the building and confronted him and said, hey, what are you doing or whatever. Well, a fight broke out between the two, and the fight resulted in a gentleman named, last name Hodges, and Kent Hodges, 66 years of age, who was the person who was fighting with him. It says in the WDIY story that Hodges recorded the incident, but the cell phone video ends when Strom attacked Hodges. Okay, so they're fighting. Hodges got a lower jaw tooth being knocked out and several loosened teeth on the top and bottom from being kicked in the face. Okay, so this is a pretty violent attack. And so Hodges had several cuts, required stitches. So Barron shows up, the third man in, and his name is Donald Barron. And he ends up coming in here, sees the fight, exits the vehicle. He also was a member at the church. I don't know how, was he just driving by at the time? I guess we don't know about that. But after there was a fight, Barron, third man in, talks to Strom, the youngster, and says, what are you doing? And they engage in words, and Strom begins to advance toward Barron. So Barron removed the handgun from his holster, called 911 immediately after the shooting took place. Barron said he had reason to believe Strom was going to harm him after the initial confrontation between Strom and Hodges. And from the court documents on this one, as the two were exchanging words, Strom, the youngster who died, told Barron, the third man in, I fear no one, and advanced toward him. Barron replied, stop, stay back. Now, one interesting thing here, which makes this even more fascinating, Barron, third man in, had a dash camera going at the front of his car. Okay, again, very, very interesting to me that I don't have a dash cam video in my car. Do you? Anyway, the parties move into the view of the dash camera at the front of the car. Strom continues advancing on Barron, who repeated, "Stay back. I'm going to shoot. I'm going to shoot." Strom continues to advance with his hands raised. He determinedly, with purpose, walks toward Barron. Barron continues moving backward with his outstretched hands holding his gun. Strom closed the distance to a couple of feet, and Barron fired one round into Strom's chest. He collapsed to the ground and died. This is a memorandum obtained by WDAY Radio by Cass County State Attorney's Office. There is a conclusion to the memorandum from Cass County State Attorney's Office. It says this: loss of life in our community is always tragic, and it's natural to wonder if it could have been avoided. The legal question for the state attorney's office, however, is not whether Strom's death could have been avoided, but can self-defense and defense of others be disproven beyond a reasonable doubt? Barron, third man in, had no legal duty to retreat, and North Dakota law provides the right to use deadly force to defend oneself and others against the danger of death, serious bodily injury, or the commission of a violent felony. Under the facts and circumstances of this case, the state is unable to disprove beyond a reasonable doubt the Barron was not acting in lawful defense of self and others. Wow. Wow. So, basically, Barron went above and beyond what North Dakota law requires him to do, retreating, giving fair warning multiple times. It almost seems as though this young man wanted to die. And it's sad. Two things can be true at the same time. He probably got what was fair to him and what would reasonably be expected in this case, but it's still extremely sad that a young man with substance abuse issues and mental health issues is no longer here to work his way through it. I just think it's very sad when there's loss of life. But I credit the two men for doing what they did, and in this case, the third man in did what was warranted. It seems that way to me, and I guess it seems that way now to Cass County State Attorney's Office. The bottom line of this whole story is that this man, Barron, the West Fargo teacher, will not face charges as the shooting was ruled self-defense. 5:31 on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Wow. When we come back, Liz Collin, our good friend from Alpha News, is going to join us. She'll join us on the radio today, and then next Thursday, she'll join us in person. She and Michelle Tafoya will be giving us a great event coming up Thursday night at the Avalon Event Center. We'll talk to Liz, find out a little bit about what she's going to talk to us about next Thursday, and I'm going to ask her to tell us a little bit about this new documentary that she's got coming out. Will it be as good as The Fall of Minneapolis? That and more coming up next. Hey friends, CJ's Tavern at Rose Creek is more than just a bar. Whether you're a golfer, taking the family out to dinner, or hanging out for some bison and UND sports with the buddies, CJ's Tavern has a mouthwatering menu, $11.99 daily lunch special and happy hour, 4 to 6, 7 days a week, and all day Sunday for football. Get half-price apps, half-price domestic taps, and half-off rail drinks. CJ's Tavern, located at the gorgeous Rose Creek Golf Course in South Fargo. Pleased to be joined on the phone line right now by our good friend Liz Collin from Alpha News. She'll be in town next Thursday night for a big event she and Michelle Tafoya are going to be holding for us, and we cannot wait to have those ladies in town and get a chance to learn from them as they're processing everything happening these days in our world and in the election cycle as well. Liz, great to visit with you again. Thanks for taking a few minutes here tonight.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Steve. We're looking forward to next week.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe it. When we got this all put together, it felt like 100 years from now, and now October 17th is just a few days away. It's amazing how things go. Yeah. So how are things with you? What have you been working on with Alpha News? I know one of the things you've been working on, this great documentary that you're putting together about the first responders across the state of Minnesota and how they're at increasing risk. So I know that's a big project you've been working on.
Yeah, that's coming out next week. So I hope people will stay tuned to Alpha News for that. It's sad. I'm not going to lie. Just kind of a reality check. We're calling it, you know, kind of the next chapter from the fall of Minneapolis. And it's called Minnesota versus We the People. But the focus is on these five first responders, four police officers, one fire medic who died in a matter of 13 months in Minnesota. Never happened in our history before. You know, as this rhetoric has continued against law enforcement and, you know, really taking kind of a deep dive into who these people were, because, you know, the news dedicates a couple minutes here and there, and then it seems to all go away after about a week, sadly.
Yes.
But also holding, I think, the politicians responsible. You'll see that in this documentary. You know, using their own words, trying to get interviews with them to answer to some of these lies they've helped to spread across the state and heck, across the country also. So if you head to alphanews.org, you'll see information there about the upcoming documentary. Same thing, we'll release it for free on YouTube and Rumble, and hopefully people will share the link. It's about 50 minutes in length, but I think very important with critical election coming up.
Yeah. What do you think is going to be the big thing that people will take away from it, Liz?
Yeah, I think that you can really see in the, and I hate even calling it a story because it's reality, but just the way it is laid out chronologically, you know, this just how it just doesn't have to be this way.
Oh,
I mean, this is,
yes,
what this is really what jumps out at me. There's a strong focus on Hennepin County Attorney Mary Moriarty, her, you know, many would say bogus case against, mm-hmm, Minnesota State Trooper Ryan Londrigan, and how the murder charges were eventually dropped, how they should have never been filed in the first place. So kind of a look at, you know, the danger, lies, the lawfare, it's all wrapped up, but more than anything, how we need to get back, as a people, to push back. And, you know, it's sort of become that way. It's kind of us versus the government. And sadly, you know, we all have to do a little more, I think, to push back against it.
Yeah, absolutely. Boy, you said a phrase that I have been saying a lot lately. It doesn't have to be this way. How many things in our world do we look at right now, whether it's economics or it's taxes or it's law enforcement or it's a border security? How many things are we saying that it doesn't have to be this way? It just takes good leadership to make it happen. But
right,
it's hard to find that sometimes. Yeah, no doubt about that.
I think Governor Walz, I was just going to mention real quick,
please.
Governor Walz has taken a bit of a role in all of this, too. We started the documentary before he joined the presidential ticket with Kamala Harris. And so, gosh, he's had a pretty controversial tenure here in his 6 years. And we wanted to show people, many for the first time, I think, what he has said to help bring us to where we are today. And so I think people will take that away also about, you know, that this guy has done no favors to law enforcement and to personal safety across the state.
Yeah. While we're on the subject, I'm just curious your gut feeling. Is Minnesota in play with the Trump-Harris race, or do you think that it's going to be awfully tough for Trump to actually win this one?
You know, I think it is. I mean, the people that I hear from, certainly, and a lot of people that we've never really talked to before. We've been trying to do that on Alpha News, feature many people who've come forward for the first time, whether they were fired for not getting the, you know, the COVID vaccine at the time. They were state employees. They were Democrats, you know, speaking out against this and how this has opened their eyes, whether it is the people involved with law enforcement. I think so many people didn't really realize the depths of this guy before, with Walz. And, you know, you even see the polling in Minnesota, how after he was named, it actually hurt Kamala Harris in Minnesota. Well,
yeah.
What does that tell you? You know, I've been helping national crews to try to kind of tell this story in Minnesota and talk to people here. And I hear back from them how hard it is for them to even find people to go on the record supporting Tim Walz, which I always think is interesting feedback.
Yeah, no kidding. So we're going to do a little thing here on Thursday night at the Avalon Event Center. Yourself and Michelle Tafoya will be giving us 20 minutes or so of good perspective and thoughts that you have and what you'd like people to know. And then we're going to have a Q&A, and we'll be taking questions from our audience members as well. And the three of us will have kind of a roundtable conversation, too, about a couple of things in there also. If you could, just give us a little sense of what you'd like to visit with us about next Thursday.
Yeah, I think my message, you know, is that the truth matters, courage matters, especially at this moment. And I think my story, I'm going to talk a little bit about that for folks. And, you know, we've had some great success at Alpha News that shows people are hungry for the truth, you know, beating out most days, you know, the mainstream media stations in town, their websites and such, breaking many stories on walls or many different subjects also. So I just don't want people to think that hope is lost. You know, I think many people sometimes, you know, think that with the negativity or whatnot. But if my story proves anything at all, you know, I think it's the latter, and people still do care about the truth, and courage counts.
Yes, absolutely. I love that message. That's a big one. And it's funny that you mentioned that, because I was talking about that off the top of my show today, that I don't know. I mean, I could be really, really fearful about this election, right? I mean, you start to think, oh my gosh, if it's Harrison Wall's in office for 4 years, I don't know how we'll even recognize the country. And then I think, okay, through everything that happened before, somehow Roe versus Wade gets overturned in the middle of the Biden presidency. And then you've got Elon Musk buying Twitter and turning that into pretty much the only bastion of free speech on the social media world, where you have people kind of from all walks of life, right? And it has some credibility. And so I'm glad to hear you say that, because I feel like it's so easy to feel like, oh, the end is near and we're never going to make it. But there is hope out there when you just say, you know what? Yeah, we could dwell on all the negative stuff, but there are good things happening around us.
Absolutely. And I think that starts sometimes with just having difficult conversations. The facts are on our side. You know, so be educated on these subjects and, you know, engage in that. And, you know, I think even the fall of Minneapolis proves that as well. I mean, there are literally thousands of comments, you know, whether it's on YouTube or Rumble, or people are just saying, you know, gosh, if I would have just been told the truth about all of this, I just feel differently. So, you know, get up to speed on those subjects, because again, I think facts matter, and the facts really are on, you know, our side.
Absolutely. Well, it's going to be a fantastic night, as you can tell. And it's going to be so much fun to hear these ladies give you their perspective on things that, you know, maybe we think about some, maybe we don't, but their unique perspective is always going to shine through. And it's always just a great feeling to get together with other like-minded people, come together, kind of let your guard down, and we can kind of be who we are and speak freely and just have a great time connecting. There is a VIP reception as well for VIP ticket holders, and there are still a few VIP tickets left. AM1100theflag.com. That's where we're selling the tickets there. And the good seats are selling now, so you want to make sure that you hop on that and make sure you get the seats that you're looking for. But we're going to have a great time, and as you can tell, Liz and Michelle are going to definitely have a lot of great stuff for us next week. So, Liz, I appreciate you taking the time today here on this Friday evening to join me. We can't wait to meet you in person, and we've got a lot of folks up here that are going to be excited to welcome you to Fargo Moorhead, West Fargo. So you have a great rest of your weekend, great week, and we'll see you soon.
Well, that sounds great. And I know Bob will be there as well. My husband, he'll be selling books. This is what I always make him do. He loves it. Bob's Bookmobile. I just really appreciate the invite and very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, it'll be great. Yeah. And tell us the book a little bit. Give us a little sneak preview of that while we have a minute.
Yeah, it's They're Lying, The Media, The Left, and The Death of George Floyd. Kind of how I, you know, jumped ship from corporate media. I put the book out there knowing full well that I wouldn't be able to do that where I was working. That's sort of what set all this in motion with the documentary and, you know, people coming forward for the first time and, you know, talking about really this day in 2020 that changed so many lives, and I think continues to.
Absolutely.
You know, so we got to set the record straight, no doubt. But it'll be great, and I really look forward to hanging with Michelle as well. I think we have seen some similar red flags in the broadcasting world that both sent us on different journeys, and I think that's for a reason.
Absolutely. Well, we're thankful that it has worked out the way it has, because we get to have you ladies up here on Thursday night. Should be a great time. Liz, thanks so much for the time. You take care.
You too. Have a great weekend, Steve.
Thanks a lot. You do the same. That's Liz Collin, producer, anchor, Alpha News, and one of the featured guests that we're going to have here Thursday night at Avalon Event Center, 7 o'clock. And tickets on sale, as I mentioned, discounts if you're a teacher, first responder, member of law enforcement. So very fair prices, a lot of selection there that you can get, and something that'll work for everybody's budget for sure. Can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, 5:49 here on the Steve Alsher Show. The Bison football team might win by 100 tomorrow, or is this a trap game? We'll talk about it coming up next. All right. From the email box, Steve, thanks for your excellent show. Well, very kind of you. I enjoy when you refer to Lawrence Kudlow for economic stories. I've followed him since the early 80s when he advised Ronald Reagan. You've got great callers, including Steve from Fargo. I've listened to him calling in since the Flag Radio started. He brings educated conversation to the conversation. How about that? We got, even our callers have fans. How great is that? My brother Perry was caught up in the wildfires out west this weekend. WDAY-TV interviewed him on Wednesday. Keep up the great work, Hal. Hal, thanks for the kind words, and I'm sure Steve would, the other Steve from Fargo, would echo that as well. All right, let's talk a little football here. I got to get the Vikings are off this weekend, which is like, oh, man, like you kind of get looking forward to these Vikings games. They've been very entertaining and they've all turned out to be wins so far. So Vikings are off and they come back, I think, next week to host Detroit, which could be really, really good. Detroit, by the way, is at Dallas this weekend, which could be very good as well. So the Vikings in the next 2 weeks could open up a pretty nice little cushion in the NFC North. If Detroit loses and then the Vikings could beat them next week, Vikes would have like a basically a three-game lead, I think, over everybody in the division. So we'll see. We won't get too far ahead of ourselves. The Bison football team is on the road at Southern Illinois tomorrow. Southern Illinois has lost three in a row. They're now 2-4 after a pretty promising start. But the Salukis have lost their first three quarterbacks for the season with injuries, and their fourth stringer, the only other quarterback they have on the roster, now a true freshman, is going to play. They don't have anybody else. And so the Bison should have a chance to win this game. Illinois State just won at Southern Illinois 45-10, and Illinois State a fine team, but I think NDSU would be expected to be better. So I don't think there should be a whole lot of drama tomorrow. You would hope that the Bison would be able to find a way to get this done. I think they can probably just win it on the ground and should be a game where you can just say, hey, let's run the ball, let's play good defense, get this thing done in about 2.5 hours and get out of here. So NDSU ranked second in the FCS rankings. It would be a stunner for them to lose tomorrow. I think obviously anything is possible, but it just doesn't look as though that is going to be the deal. And then Bison Jackrabbits from Fargo, prime time, coming up the next weekend, and that's going to be fun, either on ESPNU or ESPN2. So Bison may be caught in a little bit of a look-ahead situation. We'll see, but I think even if they look at it a little bit, they should be okay here. The Minnesota Gopher football team is all of a sudden interesting. They now are 3-3, and they go to UCLA for a night game coming up tomorrow. They're coming off that mountaintop experience, winning against USC, ranked 11th at the time. And the Gophers are starting to play some good football. They've got enough veterans that they should be able to handle not getting too caught up in themselves after winning last week. But it's a weird spot for them. They've never gone to L.A. to play a road game. It's late at night. UCLA is coming home after going to Penn State and playing them within 16 points, which doesn't sound all that impressive. But Penn State was expected to win that game by about 30. So maybe UCLA is figuring out a few things. They're at home. Minnesota traveling off of a kind of a mountaintop win. Might be a tough spot for the Gophers. They are 5-point favorites in this game. I don't know. When my teams are involved, I never know how to pick these games. But the Gophers, I think, should win by 7 to 10 points. Will they? I guess that's another question altogether. The Cobbers are home tomorrow to play St. John's, third-ranked St. John's. The Cobbers have won three in a row. They're 3-1, but this will be their biggest test of the year so far. I think they could win it, but it's going to be a stretch. The Johnnies have played year over year, season after season. They've been in the playoffs. They're used to big games. This is going to be no big deal to them. Cobbers haven't necessarily had that kind of success in recent years. And so can the Cobbers win it? Absolutely they can. They always play St. John's tough, no matter the year, the records, where the game is at. So they could, but it'll be tough for them tomorrow against a good veteran St. John's team. And the Dragons are back in action after getting whipped 33-6 at Winona State last week, and they're home to number 15 Minnesota State Mankato. So last week was the trap game. They beat Augustana in that great game a couple weeks ago, 43-41, when Augustana was ranked 18th. Then they had a road trip, kind of in that lull game in the middle, and got whipped. And now they come back to play number 15, Mankato. I would say kind of the similar thing as the Cobbers. They could win this game, and probably on paper aren't as much of an underdog, but it's going to be tough. Mankato is solid, but the Dragons seem to have a flair for the dramatic in some of these big games, so we'll see. They beat two top 20 teams already this year. Maybe they'll get another one tomorrow. All right, my friend, thank you for being with me here for the Steve Hallstrom Show. I hope you have a great weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday. And over the weekend, keep on flying that flag.